السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام, most respected brothers, we have been discussing this verse of the Quran Sharif over the past 3 weeks, and we were discussing the purpose of fasting. That is where we had stopped, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala himself declares the purpose and the objective of prescribing this fast upon the ummah of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for the purpose of the attainment of taqwa. Now that is the reason that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given. There are many, many benefits of fasting, there is no doubt. If a person eats less, he diets, he stays away from excessive eating and drinking, then there is great advantage to the physical health. But we will not say that fasting was prescribed for that purpose, that all of us stay fit and healthy. That is an advantage, it's a benefit. Every hukam of Sharia has got many, many advantages, many, many benefits. But if somebody has to say that that was the purpose, so then somebody else could get up and say that there is a better way of doing that to stay fit and healthy, that we can have a healthy diet. Instead of making you stay away from food and drink for the whole day, we can have a prescription of a very healthy diet with some exercise that will be far more beneficial to the physical body. So then, na'uzu billah, will we do away with fasting? So fasting has been prescribed for this purpose, la'allakum tattaqoon. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has mentioned, in awliya'uhu illa al-muttaqoon. The friends of Allah are only those who have got taqwa. No matter what kind of loud claims any person would make, even if he is flying in the air, but if he does not have taqwa, then he is not a wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. You can call that a magical performance, a magical feat, but we will not say that this person is a wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala if he does not have taqwa. There are many people who are negligent of their salat, of their zakat, they are indulging in all kinds of haram, but then they prescribe some ta'weez, or they give some ta'weez, or they do something which benefits the patient. Now that person believes that I got cured, and this person is definitely the wali of Allah Ta'ala. So that is not necessary. Even from a fasiq fajir, or even from the kuffar and mushrikeen medical practitioners, if they have prescribed some medication, and if Allah Ta'ala has put cure for that patient in that medication, then that person will get cured. So it does not mean that all those people now became great walis of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Yes, that person who is full of taqwa, full of piety, righteousness, God fear, God consciousness, thereafter if something appears upon his hands which is supernatural, then we will say that that is karamat. But if he doesn't have taqwa, then we will never term that as karamat. Nevertheless, so I'm discussing this verse of the Quran Sharif because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has declared many places in the Quran Sharif. Many, many ayats of the Quran Sharif you will find dealing with taqwa. The 3 ayats of nikah which we had just earlier on, they are also dealing with taqwa. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, Ya ayyuhal ladzina amanu taqullah, fiya Allah, fiya Allah. So different meanings have been given of this taqwa. You have already heard many. One sahabi, Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, was dispatching him, and when he was going as a governor of Yemen, when he was going, so Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam mentioned that probably when you come back this side you will not see me. Now imagine a sahabi who has to take this message, or who has to get this message that he will not be seeing Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam again. How sad and disappointed he would be. But they accepted whatever the hukam of Allah Ta'ala was, and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was. So it's a long hadith, but then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave him consolation. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam consoled him by saying that inna awla an-nasi bi al-muttaqoon man kanu haythu kanu, that the closest to me will be those people who are muttaqi, those who have got taqwa, those who have got fear of Allah Ta'ala in their hearts, fear of the day of judgment, fear of the azab of Jahannam, fear of displeasing Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That is the main point, that the fear of displeasing the one who is supposed to be our beloved, the one who has blessed us with every ni'mat that we possess. Now this person who has got that taqwa, then Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that that person will be closest to me. He is the closest to me. He is the nearest to me. Man kanu haiso kanu, whoever he may be and wherever he may be. How much of tasalli, how much of consolation Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave the ummah by means of this hadith sharif, that he says that whether you are black or you are white, whether you are Chinese or you are Japanese, you are American or you are South African, whether you are rich or whether you are poor, whether you are a king or you are a beggar or a pauper, whatever your condition, man kanu, whosoever it may be, there is no condition, no restriction that the person has to be born in Saudi Arabia in Madina Sharif. There is no condition that he has to be born in Makkah Sharif. Whoever he may be, wherever he is born, of whatever color he may be, haiso kanu, wherever he is. But the person who has got taqwa, then he will be near me, he is the closest to me, he is the dearest to me, he is loving to me. Everything that you can attach as a meaning to it, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that they are the ones who are the closest. From this we learn that a person can be in Madina Sharif, he can be at the Rosa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and yet he can be very, very distanced from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just because he is standing at the Rosa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and indulging in such sin which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has declared as haram, anything that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has declared as haram, and this person is right in Madina Sharif, he is standing in the masjid of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, but he is indulging in those haram activities, then although he is there, but he is far, far away from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasalam. Just for example, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, something that really hurt him, something that really disturbed him, even when he saw a non-Muslim, those ambassadors who were sent, those people who had been sent to arrest Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alaihi wasalam, it's another long story, but Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he saw their faces clean shaven, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam turned his face and he said that, who ordered you to shave off your beards? So they said, our master, meaning their king, their ruler. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, but my Rabb ordered that we lengthen the beards and we shorten the moustaches. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam turned his face away from a people who were not even Muslims. Now imagine a person is standing at the Rosa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and is reading as salatu was salam alayka ya Rasulullah and expressing great sort of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is turning his face away. So this is what I mean, that sometimes a person can be right there, or he is sitting there in Madina Sharif, and all the time is ogling at the women that are going past there. Sometimes he say, look at this beautiful Chinese woman, look at this beautiful Indonesian woman, look at this beautiful woman. Now all the time he is ogling women there. So although he is in Madina Sharif, but he is far, far away from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Or the person is right there in Madina Sharif, but he is attached or he is glued to the television screen there in his hotel room, and there he is watching the wrestling match and the boxing match and the football and the cricket and how many films that are being shown there. And sometimes they say that they are Arabic songs that we are listening to. So if it's Arabic songs with music, does it become halal? So now they are right in Madina Sharif, but because they don't have taqwa, so therefore they are far, far away from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And on the other hand, they could be a very poor person. He cannot afford to buy a ticket. He cannot afford to travel to Madina Sharif. He is living in South Africa, right in the bottom end of the tip of Africa, and he is a poor person, he is living in a hut, but he has got taqwa with him, he has got piety, he has got the khawf of Allah, he has got the love of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has got the surat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sirat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then this person is very, very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though he is thousands of miles away. Tere mehboob ki ya rab shabahat leke aaya hoon, tere mehboob ki ya rab shabahat leke aaya hoon, haqeeqat iskutu kar de main surat leke aaya hoon. At least this person who has adopted the outward form of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the outward life, then even that person can say on the day of Qiyamah that I have brought the surat, Ya Allah, make it into haqiqat. So this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that that person who has got taqwa, then he is close to me, he is near me, irrespective of who he is and where he is. Now what amount of pleasure the ashiks of Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam get in this declaration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask them. Ask those people who are told that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that even if you are in a far and distant part of the world, but if you have got taqwa, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says you are very close to me. Now when a beloved says you are very close to me, then ask the ushaq that what that means. So that is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said. Then again, if you have to look at Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala and Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, it comes to mind that there is one hadith. Hazrat, these two companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they have reported that what is taqwa? He says, taqwa is this, that أَنْ يُطَاعَ فَلَا يُؤْصَى, that the person worships Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he is obedient to Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is obedient to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he does not disobey him, that there is no disobedience in his life. Yes, accidental disobedience, Allah ta'ala has kept the doors of tawbah open, the person makes plenty of tawbah and istighfar, Allah ta'ala will raise him to the height of the muttaqeen. But purposely the person just goes on sinning and sinning and sinning and takes it for granted that that is life and we must enjoy ourselves, then and the door of tawbah is open, then before that we will make tawbah, then there is a fear that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala may snatch away this tawfiq of tawbah and he will not get the tawbah tawfiq before that. So Rasulullah, so they say that the taqwa is this, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is obeyed and there is no disobedience to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then they say that ay yuzkara fala yunsa, and that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is remembered at all times and he is not forgotten at any time. He is remembered at all times, he is not forgotten at any time. Last night I explained that when Hazrat Khaja Azizul Hasan Sahib Majzub Rahmatullah Alayhi says, Ab to rahe basta adam-e akhir, wird-e zuban ay mere ilah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. He says, Ab to rahe basta adam-e akhir, wird-e zuban ay mere ilah, la ilaha illallah. Now until my dying day, until I die, there must be nothing else on my tongue but la ilaha illallah. I must remember you at all times. There must be no question of forgetting you. Now what does that mean? Does it mean that now 24 hours the person is going to make La ilaha illallah? Does it mean that 24 hours is going to read Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah? It doesn't mean that. What it means that now I am going to take all my instructions and all my orders from my Allah, from my Rabb, that what is my Rabb pleased with, that is what I am going to do, and whatever he is displeased with, I will stay away from. Whether it's my business, whether it's my marriage, whether it's the walima, whether it is the upbringing of the children, whether it is travel, whether it is eating and drinking, whatever action of life, I will undertake it in accordance with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's instructions and direction. And believe me that there is no better way than the way that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has shown. Many times I have explained that we get this very wrong impression that the moment we are going to become pious, or the moment we are going to get closer to Allah Ta'ala, the moment we are going to get taqwa in our lives, then we will be deprived of pleasures of this world. We will be deprived of wealth. We will be deprived of a good home. We will be deprived of good car. Nobody stops us from making use of all these ni'mats. If Allah Ta'ala has provided it in a halal way, the person is taking care of the needy and the poor also from the earnings, the person is spending in the correct manner, then if he is living in a comfortable home, then that home, it will also become a means of his worshipping of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So it's not that we'll be deprived of any of the good things of this world. Yes, we will be cut off from those things which are harmful, those things which are destructive, those things which will give us no peace and no happiness and no satisfaction. Now that person is a foolish person, who if he is told that these stones which you have got in your pocket, if you throw those stones out, then I will fill your pocket with diamonds. If the person is told that you've got stones in your pocket, you've got pebbles in your pocket, and these pebbles are useless, they are dirt, if you throw that away, then I will fill up diamonds in your pocket. But that person says, no, I dearly love these stones which are in my pocket, these pebbles which are in my pocket, you can keep your diamonds. Then we will say that this person must be sent to the nearest mental institute, because there's something wrong with his brains. So So in the same way here, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants to give us diamonds. Diamonds of happiness, diamonds of peace, diamonds of satisfaction, diamonds of contentment. Allah ta'ala wants to give us a life in this world also of tranquility, of serenity and of happiness. Now isn't the person foolish and stupid and mad who says that, no, ya Allah, I want to indulge in sins because I don't want happiness. I don't want peace. I want my life to be restless, full of anxiety. I want my life to be a disaster. Because that is exactly what will happen if the person is disobedient to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes the person doesn't realize it. Sometimes he doesn't realize it that he is already under the shadow of the azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But because he is in a state where he has been given chloroform, he is dozed. So at such a time he doesn't realize that the doctor has already cut and chipped and chopped on my body. When the effects of the anesthetist will wear off, thereafter this person will realize that what kind of pains he is going to experience. So these people, for some time Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala just gives them a cover, and the person is deceived. He thinks that my Allah is very, very happy. But then suddenly when that carpet is pulled from beneath his feet, thereafter they say, hi, hi, but it's too late. So brothers, this taqwa that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants us to develop is for our own good and for our own benefit. So Nabi alayhi salam, so this Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that this is taqwa, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is remembered and he is not forgotten. That you don't forget him at any time. How can an ashik be an ashik of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, or how can be a lover be a true lover if he forgets the beloved? Layla and Majnun incidents, Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayh, he does not give us those incidents so that we may go and involve ourselves in some illicit relationship. But he gives us those incidents to teach us a lesson, that look at this person when he went mad in the love of a woman, then what happened to him? What happened to him? So many incidents he gives. So one of the incidents that he mentions there, he says that this Majnun, he was writing on the sand. So a person asked him that, to whom are you writing a letter? He said, I'm writing to my Layla. Because she is far away, I cannot see her, so I am writing and practicing her name, to write her name, and I am giving my heart satisfaction. So the person who has got ishq of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he cannot forget Allah and his Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That person who purposely disobeys Allah ta'ala, it shows that the person hasn't got any ishq of Allah. So Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, that so whichever person or whoever he is, wherever he is, as long as he has got taqwa, then he is close to me. And Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he mentions this. Then if you have to look at Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that, what is taqwa? What is taqwa? He says, al-khawfu min al-jaleel. Taqwa is that the person has this fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in his heart. And many, many times I have explained that this fear is born of love for Allah. We must never ever think that Allah Ta'ala is just out there to punish, and He just wants to destroy the creation, and He wants to send everybody to hell. If that was the desire of Allah Ta'ala, He won't give us a whole month of Ramadan. Oh my servants, even if you have gone far away from me, even if you distanced yourself from me, even if you forgot me, but I haven't forgotten you. I'm giving you another opportunity to come back to me. Where will we find another Allah? Where will we have another compassionate, kind and forgiving Allah like our Allah? Because there is no Allah besides Him, who gives us so much of opportunities. On a Friday, come and make Tawbah. Thursday night, make Tawbah. Any day and any night, make Tawbah. And then if you have still forgotten Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then how can you forget if you are going to fast for a whole month? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, if you are forgetting me like that, then now I'm imposing upon you this fast where you will have to remember me. The person who is forgetting Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in his daily activities of life, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, but I want to make you my friend. Whereas we should have been the seekers of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's friendship. Where are we worthy of becoming the friends and the walis of Allah ta'ala? Allah ta'ala says, I want to make you my friend. I want to put the crown of wilayat on your head. And you cannot get that crown until you get taqwa in you. And taqwa will not come if you forget me. So therefore I am making fasting obligatory and farz upon you, because whenever you will get the desire to eat, then you will have to remember me, that it is the hukam of my Allah, that it is not permissible to eat while I am fasting. whenever you want to drink, and it's a hot day, it's a summer day, and it is in the heat of the sun that you are extremely thirsty, and at that time you go into your home, there is no one there, no wife, no child. Nobody knows. If you have to open the fridge and take a lovely cold drink, then nobody is going to see. At that time, oh my servant, you are forced to remember me. If you are a fasting person and you are a believer in me, then you will have to remember me, that it is the hukam of my Allah that drinking at this part of the time whilst I am fasting is not permissible. So the person is now forced to remember Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And when he is going to be trained that when he is giving up all these halal things solely for the pleasure of Allah and remembering that Allah ta'ala is watching, Allah ta'ala is hearing, Allah ta'ala is knowing, then it will become his habit to remember Allah ta'ala at all times. Meaning that thereafter, whatever he does, before he takes the first step, before he takes the step, he will question himself, is my Rabb pleased with this or is he displeased? If I go to the casino, is my Rabb pleased or displeased? If I go and commit adultery or fornication, is he pleased or displeased? If I have to take drugs and drink, then is he pleased or displeased? Obviously the answer is going to be, my Rabb is displeased. So he's going to ask himself another question, that then is it not the hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to stay away from all these things, just as you stayed away from food and drink in the month of Ramadan from dawn to sunset. So if you obeyed Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with regards to food and drink which was halal from dawn to sunset, then now for the rest of your life stay away from everything that is haram. So therefore Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that this is the first part of that hadith is, it says, Al-Khawfu min al-Jaleel. Inshallah, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives life and another opportunity, then we will continue from here. But again, I repeat what I mentioned last night, that brothers, please, whatever happens, there are lots of celebrations that will be taking place. The streets will be flooded with all kinds of celebrations. And the whole world seems to be eagerly awaiting the ticking of the clock past midnight. Whatever is happening in the world, let it happen. But as far as we are concerned, we are believers in Allah. We are believers in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, out of his mercy and kindness, he gave us this month of Ramadan. And added to that, he gave us the 23rd night, which according to many hadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is also Laylatul Qadr, or Laylatul Qadr did appear on the 23rd night too, so we don't know. So at such a time, to be in any place which is displeasing to Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is courting disaster. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants to bless us, and we are saying, no, Ya Allah, who are you? We don't fear you. What is your might and power? We will go wherever we like. Do you have the power to shake up the ground? Do you have the power to cause the buildings to collapse over our heads? Do you have the power to send a gale force winds and destroy us? Do you have the power to send flood waters and destroy us? Oh Allah, you don't have the power. I believe that I have got the power and the strength to. So therefore I'm going to go wherever I like. Na'uzu billah. That although we may not say it in such clear words, but by being in such places, this is what we are declaring. So don't even watch the television. Don't even go anywhere near anything that will tempt you towards haram. Spend this night in prayer, in zikr, in tilawat, in ibadat, and ask Allah for protection from all the azabs that are coming all over the world. The gale force winds, 200 kilometer hour winds, are destroying so many parts of Europe. We have read so many things, we have heard so many things. So now don't play with the might of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Let us take a lesson, especially now that it is the 23rd night, it is the month of Ramadan. Then from now we must make up our minds that we are not going to even ask a person that what happened at the Blue Lagoon or what happened in the beachfront or what happened in the here and there. Nothing. Why should it concern us? We should not be concerned as to what kind of enjoyment and fun and pleasure they had, because this is Jannat for them. Even if they enjoy themselves, it's Jannat for them. Our Jannat is in the Akhirat. For a few years of life here, be obedient to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Enjoy the good things of this world, and Allah ta'ala will give us in this world and in the hereafter. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal on whatever we read and whatever we hear. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala fill our hearts with His love and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and protect us from all harm, from all azab and all disasters. And all over the world, wherever the Muslim Ummah is suffering, may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala ease their problem and their pain. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.